Yo, what is up? And welcome to Behind the Sticks UFL Double Dip Week 6 and 7 coming at your face. It's a solo episode again. Just your boy, Ian Spaghetti Sacchetti. I got to apologize to all the loyal listeners out there. Housetown's going through some stuff. He's got it going on. If he's willing to talk about it next time he's here, we'll bring it up. I'll ask the hard-hitting questions. Go, Pierce Morgan to Fiona Harvey right here for any baby reindeer fans. But, he couldn't do it, and I just didn't have the heart to do a solo episode last week. My Brahmas lost, and I didn't have my best friend. But I had even less the heart to leave my faithful fans hanging on. So I'm here begrudgingly. I'm sad. Friends are probably sponsoring us again because they know to kick me while I'm down. But I'm giving you Behind the Sticks, Week 6, UFL, and Week 7, Solo Spaghetti episode. No cuts. I don't feel like editing. I'm lazy. And I've already been drinking tonight, so I'm going to continue drinking through this podcast. Any pauses are me just running to the fridge to get another beer. So let's go, guys. Hit the intro music. There's going to be a big pause because I might not even put it in. But let's go. Behind the Sticks, UFL, Week 6, Weekly Roundup, Rapid Edition. All right, so Saturday, May 4th, first game, we got Beham taking on the Showboats, and we all knew Beham was going to destroy him 39-21. Nothing to say about that game. Next game, Battlehawks Roughnecks. What a surprise. The Battlehawks won. Crazy. Actually, the only good game Sunday was the Renegades Panthers game, and fucking heartbreak for our boy Luis Perez as he would lose to a last second field goal. Jake Bates making his way to the MVP rankings, I think, but actually didn't get to catch too much of this game because I was en route to DC to represent my Brahmas in their second loss of the fucking season against the Defenders. Went to that game. Housetown was there too. We brought a couple friends and listeners. If you guys actually liked us and liked the tweets, you would have known about the raffle and got to join us for Behind the Sticks exclusive experience. We took 8 lucky listeners to come along with us. So maybe we'll do something like that again. You guys keep checking in. Maybe it'll happen. But I figure when Housetown's back, we'll get more into the experience of a UFL game. Just a quick spoiler, it was pretty sick, except for the fact that the Brahmas lost to the Defenders. And Dormady looked pretty bad. But I'm pretty sure that week, Lovett took over the rushing title. I don't think he has it anymore, like leading, but it was pretty cool. So, yeah. 12-18. It was kind of a boring game to be at, to be honest. But the atmosphere was still sick. Like, wish the scoring was a little higher, but basically, week 6 was what you thought would happen. Renegades are showing life, but they still can't cook yet. And then the Brahmas lost to the Defenders, but whatever. But now we'll roll into that actual weekly roundup. We're at that good stuff. I'm going to tell you about these games like I watched them because I did. I watched every single game. So the first game we had Saturday, May 11th, we had the Showboats going into Arlington to take on the Renegades. And in the relegation bracket, Perez popped off. 47-23. Let's look at this box score for our boy. So if we go to the Renegades here, 27 of 32. Jesus, 5 incompletions and he threw 3 tuds. That's insane, honestly. 84.4% completion percentage, 9.2 an attempt. And De'Veon Smith running had a good game with 14 rushes for 101 yards and 2 tuds. Dude, the Renegades just destroyed the Showboats. Showboats really have no life. Both their quarterbacks aren't doing anything. Cookus is cooked for sure. I don't even know who Williams is. I refuse to learn his name. But probably craziest game is the weekend because I think the over-under was 46 and a half. Yeah, that's what it's saying. The Renegades had 47 themselves. So I'm honestly scared for the next 3 teams to play the Renegades. They're a 4-win team. And I think they might just go undefeated this stretch of the season. Showboats, you've been in the relegation bracket. There's nowhere else to go but to remain in the relegation bracket. So, like, they got a lot to do. I mean, looking through this game, it kind of showed me that, like, because after this week's spoiler, there was a lot of XFL v. USFL. I think that was every game was interdivision, and they're tied. So each division's like equal, but the USFL is clearly more lopsided. Like the Stallions are great and the Panthers are good, but then the Showboats and the Roughnecks just suck, while everyone in the XFL is all right. Like I know the Renegades are in the relegation bracket, but that's mostly their defense. Like I have nothing against Perez and what he's been doing. Like Mr. Spring Football, all jokes aside, Stoopsy, all jokes aside, like they have a lot of close losses. So it's really rough to like they're probably outscoring their opponents. If I can look that up, I will. But like 1 point loss week six, 10 point loss week five. So not that good. 8 point loss. All right. So maybe I'm wrong. No, another 1 point loss, a 3 point loss. Yeah, so they've had a couple close ones here, hither and thither. So, like, the Renegades are at least competitive in their play. So, like, I do have them in the relegation bracket, but now that they've eclipsed the 0-6 marker, I might take Stoopsy and Spring Football out of there. Maybe you'll see how I feel about them in my power rankings. But that's enough about the Showboats Renegades game. I know nobody really cares, but the Renegades got their first win. So I guess the Renegades fans do. And the, like, 3,000 Showboat fans out there, I feel sorry for you guys. Ugh. If I was sponsored, I'd tell you what beer I'm drinking, but I'm not, so I won't. All right, the game that we all cared about, the cool one going in, the 5-1 Battlehawks at the 6-0 Stallions. So if we did an episode and I had these over-unders or the spreads, you would have known that it was 4.5 to the Stallions. And I thought the Battlehawks would keep it that close. Like, I thought they would lose by 3-ish. So I figured it would be a close game through and through, but the Stallions would just prove that overall they were a better team and McCarron couldn't handle it. And, like, honestly, this game exceeded all expectations. This was an amazing game. Each team went tit for tat. Like, I think one of the announcers said it was like a boxing match where they were feeling each other out. And 100%, I think the first two drives for each team like sputtered. And then it was just touchdown or field goal. Just bang, down the field, down the field, down the field. Nonstop scoring. Defense making some plays here and there. But offenses really were doing their thing. We had our two MVP candidates going at it. AJ McCarron and Adrian Martinez. And dude, they both delivered. They both showed up to the field and wowee, if this is what the championship is and it's in St. Louis, this is going to be a hell of a game. Like I was talking to one of my friends and I was telling him like spring football or none aside, this is probably one of the better games I've seen. Like you didn't really know who was going to win. Just when it seemed like the Stallions had everything in the bag, the Battlehawks special teams fucking blocked a punt and gave them new life. And like AJ McCarron messed up his ankle or his leg or something on like the drive before. Sorry about that, guys. You might hear that. I don't know if I'm editing this at all. I said unedited, so probably not. So you will. So I apologize. I don't know what the fuck I was talking about. Give me a second. Yeah, but AJ McCarron hurt his leg. Oh, I did know. So yeah, I think if he would have been healthy when they got the ball back on that final drive, he might have been able to get it, but it was a touchdown. See, if it was a field goal, I would have thought more. I think the Stallions D could have buckled down and it probably would have been the same scenario. I'll say 60%, it would have stayed the same if he was healthy. Stallions probably win at exact same score, but I would have liked to see a healthy McCarron to see what he could do. But end of the day, this game did not disappoint. 30-26, Stallions remain undefeated. Honestly, don't see anyone stopping them from going 10-0, because even though people are like, oh, the USFL's division's locked up, these guys have nothing to play for. Like, I understand you always want to play to win. Everyone's playing to win a championship in any league you're in. That's awesome. But these are the auditions for the NFL, everybody. Like, let's not forget that these guys are playing for a chance to go to the NFL and be on a practice squad. The practice squads that's not even aired on TV and nobody will see. So, like, why wouldn't they shell out right here and keep going? Like, we're 7-0 now. Sure, we've locked it up, but let's keep going. Play it out. And also, like, the Panthers, I know it's not likely. The Panthers could still get the home field advantage for this game. So it's not like it's nothing. But anyway, talking about the Panthers enough, going into their game where they went to DC and they smoked the Defenders 22-9. Actually, didn't get a chance to watch this game. You know, it was Mother's Day. And, you know, to all the mommies out there, we couldn't do it without you. Sometimes it seems like your kids hate you, but we always love you and we always will. So this is a shout out to my mom. You're the best and I love you. Thank you for everything you've done. But I digress. Couldn't watch a lot of the game. 22-9. Panthers dogged the Defenders. That's really all you have to say about it. They used all their sauce to beat the Brahmas, or the Brahmas just didn't show up for that game. I don't know. But for all the people who have the Defenders power ranked over the Brahmas, like, fuck you. That's all I'm saying. We've won games with three different quarterbacks. Just try and stop us. Our team's the Calvin Johnson of the UFL. Doesn't matter who's throwing the ball. We're Hall of Famers. So who cares about this fucking game? Going on to the Brahmas. Brahmas Roughnecks, baby. Let's bring up this box score because I have no idea who the mustache is, but I need to give this guy credit. So we're going to Brahmas. What is your name, Hogan? K. Hogan. Kevin Hogan coming in to win the game. 5 of 7 for 38 yards. This man is a machine. Looking at the Brahmas offense, they did like literally nothing. Oh my God, Roughnecks defense was on point. I'm pretty sure I heard something say they Brahmas only scored one of three or four red zone possessions. So like the Roughnecks were making it rough for the Brahmas. You know, they had Garitano in there. Oh, I thought Sinet was starting over him. I guess he was hurt. But I mean, they didn't really do anything. Really, the only thing that mattered in this game is it came down to the Brahmas on like a 10-minute drive at the end of the game, like 17 or 18 plays, just going down the field. John Lovett punches it in, I'm pretty sure. And then they get the fucking 3-point conversion, man. They tie the game. They're down 12-3. There's like a minute 18 left. Bang, we got a 12-12 game. Let's go UFL for that rule. I love how 9 points is now possible because that switches the dynamic, especially since with having to try instead of getting free extra points, it makes like, you know, a touchdown more likely 6 points. So getting 9 makes it literally a touchdown and a field goal, like catch up 2 possessions. It's pretty ingenious. And being out 10 yards, that's a tough play. I'm pretty sure Cody Lattimore caught that one. I think Lovett punched it in, Lattimore caught it. Then the Roughnecks were trying to do something. I'm pretty sure they turned over the ball instead of going to overtime. Like the Brahmas had the timeouts and they're like, oh shit, we got the ball. So let me just check the Roughneck stuff. Can I see who fumbled? Where's defense? Okay, there's defensive. All right, Brahmas, we're going defensive. It doesn't have fumbles, man. It's got interceptions. I don't think they got an interception. I'm pretty sure they forced a fumble. Okay, wait. It's got fumbles for the offense. This doesn't make sense. Wait, but look at the Brahmas. One fumble for Lovett lost. One fumble for Dormady lost. One fumble for Stevenson lost. What the hell? But yeah. No, I remember this. It was on the fucking kickoff. They didn't even get the ball. Yeah, that's right, dude. I remember Taz Tabber got it where like someone pushed the blocker into the return man and he was falling down and the dude fucking, it's Gronker in time. Like if anybody remembers the game where Brady got picked off and the dude fell out of bounds and Gronk just turned into a torpedo and headbutted this dude. That's my reference for it's Gronker in time. So that's basically what he just torpedoed toward the ball, hit it out before the dude was down. Recovery Brahmas, kick the field goal, 12-0 run to end the game. Keep the Roughnecks in the relegation bracket. But seeing that fumble, man, Dormady sucks. Oh my God. They were not delusions of grandeur. I wasn't just like, oh man, maybe we need someone else. Like, duh, duh, duh. No, Dormady blows. Hopefully Hogan's better and he's much better than the Predator they signed. I don't even know his name. I'm not going to say it, but like Dormady's stat line is almost as abysmal as a sticky person's I was talking about. Let's go over this real quick. 10 of 24. It's fucking 41%, guys. Garbage for 142 yards, 5.9 an attempt and an interception, no touchdowns. And he fumbled the ball too. No wonder he got benched. The offense probably went on that huge drive after he got benched. Dormady. Oh, God, I think some beer just got in my eye and I blame Dormady for it. This is all Quentin Dormady's fault. So basically after this week, we had Mr. Spring Football spring into life. Showboats aren't really a show anymore. And like, I've been joking about the relegation bracket for a while, but honestly, I feel like probably not the Roughnecks, because I feel like Houston's a big mecca for football, so they'll probably be okay, but the Showboats might be out, man. Like, they'll probably get another USFL team to get in there or try to revamp it or coaching. I don't know, man, but you can't have uncompetitive football. They won week one and they've been 0-6, just nothing. I'm pretty sure they've been getting blasted every game. So they lost by 24 this week, and then they lost by 18 the prior week. They lost by 17 the prior week, 15 the prior week, 19 the prior week. The Brahmas put up 20 unanswered on them, and then they won the game before that by 6. So, wow, the Brahmas literally broke the Showboats. After the Brahmas outscored them 20-0 in the fourth quarter, they've lost every game by over, what, 17 points? So we got a 19-point loss. No, 15. I think 15 is the closest game. 15 points is the closest game they've had since giving up those 20 points to the Brahmas, man. So, like, it is looking oody cheeks for the Showboats. They're not even competitive. So, like, that's the only story about them, man. Wow, I didn't even realize they were getting blown out every game. Jesus. So, yeah, that's the wrap-up on that. The game everybody really cared about, the Battle Hawk Stallions game, lived up to everything I wanted. Stallions defense is legit, and I'm pretty sure they shut down Akeem Butler. Let me go look at these player stats quick, because I know Sailors had a game, but I think Butler didn't really do too much. Yeah, I mean, 7 for 89 is not terrible, but 44 were on one catch. Yeah, McCarron, they kind of kept McCarron in check. 19 of 32 for 161, touchdown and interception. Interception wasn't his fault. Receiver fell down, but shit still happens. I mean, Sailors really did the most. He only had 38 yards, but two rushing touchdowns, and I'm pretty sure a receiving touchdown as well. So he was most of their offense, so that was pretty solid. But also, like, Martinez, God, I didn't realize he had three touchdowns. I guess they were all passing touchdowns. No, they had one rushing touchdown for Maribel. Yeah, and Stick Person averaged 4 yards a carry, so that's like a career high for him. And then some guy named Zuber was there. I remember his name. It was just cool. But yeah, Martinez, 21 of 33 for 63%, 230, and three tutties, no interceptions. So I guess, I mean, damn, I didn't even realize he was playing that well. The Battlehawks defense looked like they were doing enough for what they needed to do. So I guess this was really more of like the tenacious guy versus the good guy. Like the Stallions kind of made it look easy for a little bit, but the Battlehawks kept fighting and stayed in there. So I am really curious to see a rematch. Hopefully it does happen. The only way is in the championship game. So if it does come down to seeing that or my beloved Brahmas play, fuck you, Battlehawks. Then we go to the Panthers Defenders game. I'll just click on this box score real quick. I didn't watch it. I don't really know what happened. Perkins, whoever the fuck that is, 11 of 13. That's incredible for 116. Then LaWorke, 5 of 13. That's awful. Colburn, 16 for 137 rushing. That's pretty ballin'. Good for him. And then receiving. Wait, S. Nakua? Samson Nakua? Wait. Do the Panthers have two Nakua boys? That's crazy. I mean, he led the team with 6 receptions for 45 yards. I don't even see, like, any touchdowns here, man. Oh, no, there's 2 rushing touchdowns. Okay, I was like, how'd they put up 22? Where's Bates here? It's the only kicker I care about. Kicking, 3 of 3 field goals, of course. So he had 9 of their points. So he was basically carrying them. Then the defenders, I guess Te'amu got hurt because McClendon came in. Jalen McClendon, I don't even know who that is. But Te'amu didn't play much. Maybe he must have gotten hurt because 10 of 14, 1 touchdown, no interceptions. That's not bad. Q-T did nothing. Oh my God, they did nothing. Who has the receiving yards? Oh no, that's rushing. I'm sorry. Okay. Never mind. I apologize. Q-Tay, 1 rush for 28 yards is pretty solid. Their rushing did absolutely nothing. Ty Scott had 2 for 87 and a touchdown, so that's pretty ballin', but on 6 targets, not so much. Harmon, I think it's Kelvin Harmon, he had a pretty good day with 6 receptions, but I mean, 9 points doesn't cut it. I'd have to see if Te'amu got hurt. I really wish it would tell me like the little fantasy stuff, like the injury stuff. But when I look at news, it just looks like it's the same old, same old. And I see the UFL power rankings have the Brahmas at 5, man. That's just insulting to have them one game above the relegation bracket. But then again, it looks like a typo because it has the Brahmas at 3 and 4 and the Defenders at 5 and 2. Also has Panthers above Battlehawks. I know they beat them week one, but I feel like that was without Pizzy, Jakor Pearson for the uneducated like myself earlier this season, or Sailors. So I feel like their offense is clicking on such a higher ferocity that they would probably dog the Panthers. Like, I feel like the Panthers are still in the same bracket as the Brahmas, just not in contention. Maybe could pull one upset. Like, I realistically, you know, it would be exciting and crazy, but if the Stallions lost to the Panthers in the playoffs, I'd watch the 4-6 Renegades win in the XFL. It wouldn't surprise me, but I do not think then they'd be able to beat the Battlehawks. Same with the Brahmas. If the Brahmas can overtake the Battlehawks, I think that would be all the grit they have, and they wouldn't be able to overcome two better teams back-to-back weeks. So I feel like I'm not spoiling any power rankings here, not getting into those. I just have my tiers here, and I think the tiers are the two teams probably in the championship, the two teams that could compete with them, and then the rest. Like, I mean, the Defenders aren't in the relegation bracket yet. If they lose to a relegation team, maybe, but I don't think they play any besides the Renegades. And I already told you what I thought the Renegades were going to do for the rest of the season. So anyway, Panthers, dog Defenders. I went over Brahma's Roughnecks pretty much in detail, but all you really need to know about that game is a bunch of red zone turnovers for the Brahmas and then a 10-minute drive for 9 points. Turnover by the Roughnecks on the kickoff return. Bingus, Bangus, Boomus, Brahmas win. And they're 5-2, tied for the second best record in the UFL. Ugh. Yeah, so, fuck, that's the weekly roundup. We rounded up the week, or we, I did this. This is a solo episode. But that is your week 7 roundup. Drawing a blank on what I do next. There's no saucy plays. If you want saucy plays, just watch every Luis Perez highlight, okay? And then I'm just fucking play Wow What a Banger after all of them. Like, that's all I can tell you is every time Luis Perez threw the ball, Wow What a Banger, those are your saucy plays. You're welcome for them. So what are we doing now? We're going into power rankings. So, like I said, we'll start at the bottom. Number 8, Showboats. They can't even show me an exciting game anymore. Number 7, Roughnecks. They're rough. They're necks. They're a relegation team, but at least they try. I feel like all their games are at least competitive, except for the big doggies. Then we got the DC Defenders, barely out of relegation bracket themselves. I don't know what you've been told, but DC Defenders should not be above the Brahmas in the power rankings. That was 5. Then we'll go to 4 is actually where I'll put my Brahmas, because until we figure out how good Hogan is, I feel like with how bad Dormady's been or hit or miss, that the Panthers are a more consistent team than them. So I think they will be above them in the 5-2 record, which will tell you that I have the Panthers right there at 4, which means the other 5-2 team, the Battlehawks, will be there at 3. Now, need to understand that if McCarron's hurt, this will drastically change everything, but I'm going from a no knowledge on injury standpoint. I brought it up earlier on the year, and I'm very firm on this. So Battlehawks will stay at number 3. Number 2, of course, we have the Stallions, who could forget, you know, Birmingham, Beham undefeated, just beat arguably the second best team in the league or third best, depending on who you're talking to, blah, blah, blah. Everybody knows the Stallions are good, but what the fuck ever. Number 1, this is for you, Housetown. Power ranking. Number 1 coming in the power rankings. You knew it was coming. I told you they were going to go undefeated for the rest of the season. Mr. Spring Football, Stoopsy himself, the Arlington Renegades. Power rankings are not based on who has the best record at the time. They are based on who is the best team at the time. And I will tell you this for a fact. Renegades aren't losing a game for the rest of the season, boys. They just got that 4-6 magic in them. They wanted to make it dicey. Stoopsy wanted you at the edge of your seat. But they're going to win these next 3 games. Handedly or not, Mr. Spring Football is here to show that they're a 4-6 team. Let's go. So that's why they're number fucking 1. If you're asking me who's going to win the championship, I'll give you different rankings there. Stallions, then Battlehawks, then Panthers, Brahmas, Defenders, Roughnecks, Renegades, Showboats. Or I'm sorry. No, switch Renegades and Roughnecks, because Renegades and Showboats are eliminated. But, like, those are the ads that they'll be in. So, Stallions, Battlehawks, Panthers, Brahmas, Defenders, Renegades. That's it. Those are your rankings, but don't bet on the Renegades at all. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about who is the best team right now. And I tell you this, Stallions got lucky they played the Renegades week one. They played them next week. I would bet my wife that the Renegades would win. I'd double up and I'd have two wives, people. That's how these bets work. When you bet children, you win children. When you bet wives, you win wives. I don't make the rules. I just enforce them. No. Power rankings! See, I don't have anyone to, like, bounce off or vibe here, guys. So I fucking lose track of what I'm supposed to be doing right now. So I'm just going to run down for you what's in my mind right now so you can really get into the head of a true Brahmas fan. Let's go horns up. So I did the weekly roundup, and then I did saucy plays, Luis Perez highlights, Mr. Spring Football, Stoopsy, wow, what a banger. Okay, then power rankings. I think, is it player stats? I think it's player stats, guys. Let's see if I can figure out how to get to player stats here. All right. Fee, fi, fo, fum. Let's see. Da-dum, dum, dum. Hold on. This is staying in here. It says Renegades QB Perez, QB Luis Perez eyeing potential NFL return. Where did you play in the NFL? Get that monkey off our back. You tell him, Perez. Monkeys shouldn't be on backs. Okay, yeah, I have no freaking idea. It's not saying. It says return. He must have been there before. But we want stats. We want player stats. Oh, what are we talking about? Passing leaders? You already know who I'm talking about. Mr. Spring Football, Luis Perez. 1625 fucking passing yards. Almost 200 over A.J. McCarron in second place. And actually, Martinez is in third with 1202, which is crazy because he's only started half the games. Like, he's almost down 100 attempts on McCarron and Perez. Oh, I burped and I have to clear my throat. You guys are in for a treat. I might edit this out. Let's see. 27 minutes. Let's see if I can remember that, guys. I'll have to make a little note. Babe, remember 27 minutes. Okay? It's the only part I'm editing. I might even not. I might just leave this in. Okay, anyway. But yeah, he's only he's got 138 attempts compared to 230, 231, and 182 for Tiamu. All the people over 1,000. So he's at least 50 down on that. I mean, what are his yards in attempt? Where is that? Hinka dinka donka dinka dinka dink. Do they not have that? It says attempts a game, passing attempts. Doesn't have. Oh, there we go. Passing attempt average, right? P average, Pavridge. Yeah, 8.7. 8.7 is fucking high. Perez is at 7.1, which is solid, but damn, 8.7 is good, dude. I told you, Martinez is going to start. He's going to be the MVP. But I do put Luis Perez back in that since he's won a fucking game. And, like, his numbers can't be argued with. 68% completion, leading the XFL, or sorry, the UFL in passing, 7.1 an attempt, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, QBR 98.9, the exact fucking same as A.J. McCarron. Martinez is the only person over 100 at 109.6. So that would really be his argument, even though he hasn't started all the games, but he is on the best team. But then let's compare some A.J. McCarron stats here, too. He's at 1,466 yards. He's at 14 tutties to 3 interceptions. And then Martinez only has 1 pick, 10 touchdowns, and 1,202 yards. So those are your, like, big three right here. Perez is more of a meme, but I feel like it's more his team. I feel like he's probably one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Definitely top three. All right, who's running the ball? And this should just, like, lock up how good Martinez is. Leading the league in rushing, 387 yards, but Lovett's right on his back with 385. Martinez only has 1 touchdown, though. I guess he slings the rock more. Lovett's got 5, but I'll get into rushing touchdowns in a little bit. They're the only guys above 300, and they're almost at 4. Then in the high twos, you have Colburn. I want to say his name's Mike, but I have no idea. It's Matthew. Sorry, Matthew. Matthew Colburn, then we got Sailors and Devion Smith and Wes Hills. 278 for West, 279 for Smith, 280 for Sailors, and 294 for Colburn. So I'll do them pretty respectfully there. Then we get a little dip to the low twos, and then at that point, it's like one good game is like 100, so that'll put you up there. Touchdown. Stick person still leads with 6. Then we got Wes Hills and Lovett with 5 for second. And fucking Perry's still up there. Hasn't played in how long. His 4 tutties are still good enough for 4th place. So shout out to EJ Perry, man. Guy gave it his all when he was out there. Then receiving yards. Let's see. Hakeem Butler. Holy shit, dude. Our boy Mims fell the fuck off. He was leading for a while, but Butler's at 567 yards. Then 421 for Mims. Or Mims. Yeah, Mims, our nickname for him. Then Harmon at 375 and Kirkland at 373. I know Kirkland fell off a lot, but his quarterback play has been garbage. So what do you really expect the guy to do? I feel like he gets a pretty good pass on that because their passing has been terrible. But Butler with the 567 receiving, 243 yak, 14.9 a reception. It's pretty crazy, too. An 81 a game, obviously, he's leading there. But what's crazy is he's also leading and receiving touchdowns. He's the only person with 5. If we go down to 4, there are 4 cats with 4. We have M. Williams, I don't know, Marlon Williams for Bam, Vince Papale. The only fucking thing that's good for Memphis with 4 touchdowns and 225 yards. Like I said, I don't think he can be blamed for that. Like, it's hard to evaluate receivers, in my opinion, when the team's just so bad and the quarterback plays such trash. It's like, how are you going to evaluate these guys when the guy throwing him the ball is can't read a defense? And then also up there is Sal Cannella. Sal Cannella with 288 receiving yards. Like, he's a tight end. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And then Jay Payton also has 4. I don't know who that is. Is that 5 guys with 4? No, that's 4. Who are you, Payton? You're also on Arlington. JP Payton. So, wow, that's 8 of Luis Perez's 10 touchdowns there. Or did he have 12? It doesn't matter. Those are receiving dogs, guys. So, basically, Hakeem... I was going to say the dream. That's already been used. Hakeem Butler is the best receiver in the UFL, but that's kind of a given. Kicking points, we got Jake Bates, the guy that boots it far. I only care about him as a kicker, so if he's up there, dope. Kick return yards, Jawan Manigo for Arlington, but they lose a lot of games, so that's really a skewed stat. Amari Rodgers still leans in punt return yards, still doesn't have a picture. Kainakua with 3 picks is leading those. Jordan Mosley for my Brahmas with 55 tackles. Carlos Davis hasn't had a sack in weeks, so just listen to any episode and you'll figure it out. Then who cares? Who cares? Passing yards is the Stallions. Rushing yards is the Stallions. Kicking points is the Stallions. Return averages are the Battlehawks. Points allowed are the Stallions. Yards a game are the Stallions. And then Brahmas still leading it strong with the 1-point conversions. And them and the Showboats are the only teams to try 3-point conversions, and they're both 50%. 2-point conversions, Fox Sports doesn't care about you, so neither do I. Player stats are done. We love the players. They play for us. We pay for them. I think 4th and 12 is next. So hopefully they have the betting lines out. They should. So I'll just look at the numbers, be surprised, and then tell you guys how to lose or win money. What's crazy is the week we didn't do it, I actually hit my parlay on over-unders. So, yeah, won that 13-1 bet, and I didn't even have to tell anybody. So it was pretty cool. So I'm officially back over. I was back at even, but we're winning money here. So we're on DraftKings right now, guys. Let's search UFL. Let's see what they got. Bang, we got this. So first game of the week, Saturday, May 18th at 4 p.m. I don't know where it's playing because DraftKings doesn't tell me. Memphis Showboats at the Michigan Panthers. We got an over-under of 47.5. That seems rough, man, but I feel like the Panthers might be able to do that and the Showboats just do garbage time points. So we're going to do a little mix-up here because I only do parlays. So I am going to go under on this one, under 47.5. That seems really high. So we're gonna just do under on that. That just seems big. Then we got the Houston Roughnecks at the Birmingham Stallions at 8 p.m. on Saturday, late game. Over-under is only 43. Oh, my God, the spread. Just wait till you see. I'll tell you the spread, guys. I'll be doing that bet later. But holy shit. Over 43, definitely. Like, feel like the Stallions will probably put up 30 some. So the Roughnecks really don't have to do much. I think their pass game was over too. Or actually, no, it might have been under. Whatever, we're switching it up. I think the Stallions are just going to roll. Then we have the Defenders at the Battle Hawks. We've got an over under for this one, a 44.5. And ooh, that one's rough. I feel like these guys scored points last time they played. So I'm going to go over on this. So far we go under, over. And then guess what? The Brahmas have, I think, only one over all season. So I really don't think the Renegades are going to do it. Like, yeah, the Renegades rolled the Showboats, but they're not going to roll my Brahmas. So it's over under 46. I got under 46. So let's go. For the Showboats Panthers game, we got under 47.5. Roughneck Stallions over 43. Defenders Battle Hawks over 44.5. And Renegades Brahmas under 46. So that if hypothetically you bet $1, payout would be $13.28 if it hits. Logging in now, guys. DraftKings bet slip done. So now we're going to look at the spreads. I'll tell you what I think, but I don't do spreads. I normally just do money lines. So I'll tell you what to do there. So the Showboats are obviously the dogs. The Panthers are 8.5-point favorites here. Now, looking at this, I go, wow, 8.5 points is high. That's crazy. What a cliffhanger. My beer's done. This pause is staying. Eight and a half points. Wow, that's crazy. This pause is staying. I don't even remember where I was. My phone turned off, guys. Hold on a second. We got this. Okay, yeah. Panthers, 8.5-point favorites. It seems like it's really high. Had you not just looked at all the fucking games the Showboats have lost by 15+, I normally wouldn't take a spread at 8.5. That seems, you know, a little too dicey for me. Because that's a lot of points, but fuck it, dude. The Showboats suck. Like, yeah, just I don't think they'll cover it. Like, give them the 16-point line. Oh, 16-point line. Spaghetti, where'd those numbers come from? They came from the Roughneck Stallions game, man. Fucking Stallions are 16-point favorites. That's three scores, man. That's insane. How can you bet that? Like, especially with the over-under being 43, how are you going to give a team 16 points? That's almost half of the over-under. That's crazy. I that wouldn't touch a line that big. Like, 16, it seems insane. Seems like the Stallions are too good or the Roughnecks are too bad. So I don't know if I would touch that. Stallions are 100% going to win this game. Oh, also, I didn't tell you. Yeah, no, I said with the Panthers with the money. Yeah, Panthers are going to win. Throwing it down right now. This bet's probably not going to win shit because the Stallions are minus 1,800. But, like, if I'm parlaying all four games, like, why wouldn't I throw them in there? Even if it's bad, it'll make the parlay better. And I'm not going to bet on the Roughnecks to win. It's just not going to happen. I mean, they're plus 1,000. I might put $1 on it because whatever. If they win, that's 10 bucks. You know what? Yeah, honestly, I think that's a pretty solid bet. If you can take the Roughnecks at plus 1,000, just throw like $1 or 50 cents or something on it. Like, if you got some spare change on your account, there's whatever. You might get 10 times your money back. It seems worth it because that might turn into a decent bet. So, yeah, I'm going to say ignore the line. I don't like 16 points. If you're doing a parlay, throw the Stallions in there for sure. But if you just want to fuck around with some money, I say put it on the Roughnecks. Who knows, man? Stallions probably won't go undefeated. And in the XFL, the fucking Guardians, a one-win team, only win was the only loss for the DC Defenders. So I feel like they might lose. If they do, it's going to be a bad team because they're going to show up to the good games. They won't like sleepwalk through it. Next game. Defenders are 7.5-point dogs going into Caw-Caw land. Honestly, like I said, I don't like taking these big spreads. I can't believe all these spreads are fucking crazy this week. But Dude, the Battle Hawks just lost a heartbreaking game away. They're going back home. That crowd's going to be obnoxious and oblivious and crazy. The Defenders, like, had a quarterback issue or something like that. I don't know what's going on with them, but I feel like they're sputtering right now. Their only wins are against bad teams. The Brahmas played bad. They beat the Brahmas, but the Brahmas played like shit. And, like, Dormady, with Dormady at quarterback, the Brahmas are bad. Like, their defense is good, but you don't know who they're going to be. I said this. They could beat good teams or lose to bad teams, and they lost to a bad team. The Defenders are a bad team. 7.5 seems like a lot. I'm probably redundant on that. But honestly, it's not 16, so it doesn't look that bad. I say take Battle Hawks on the spread. Not about it. I'm going to do money line, like I said. And then we're rolling in to what is going to break my heart to actually bet on my parlay. But the Brahmas are 3.5-point favorites. Dude, I'm taking the Renegades. I'm taking the Renegades to win straight up. So obviously take the points if you think that's the move. Mr. Spring Football is going to get those four wins. He's like signed a contract with the devil to win four games. Brahmas have been sputtering a little bit. I mean, we'll see what Hogan's made of here. So potentially, maybe, possibly, hypothetically, probably not. They could look good, but I just don't know, man. The Renegades have been like Luis Perez-ing it all year. I really, 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 really wanted him to come over to the Brahmas so we could see how good he would be on a good team. Probably could fucking destroy the Stallions. Like, Mr. Spring Football on this team. Like, the Brahmas are literally the complete package without a quarterback. Like, when we had Garbers, we were up there. It was the big three. Like, I'm not coming at Kendrick, but there was a big three. But it just dissipated. And I feel like it's kind of the same for the Panthers, man. If they had EJ Perry, like, I feel like these defensive first teams with solid to above average quarterback play just got hosed on the injury market. But, yeah, I just feel like the Renegades will win this game. Something's telling me the Brahmas are going to be in, like, win-lose, win-lose, win-lose mode. Make it to the playoffs, lose to the Battle Hawks by, like, 14. But you know what? Whatever. Nobody gave them any chance. So to get to the playoffs is at least something. And if they would have had Garbers, they probably could have given them a run for their money or maybe taken the one spot from them. But, you know, you never know what the future will hold, but you know what the present is. So let's go right now over the bets again, just in case you guys lost track or you just listened to this part. We got under 47.5, over 43, over 44.5, and under 46. If you're not sure, I got the under on the Showboats Panthers game, over on Roughnecks Stallions, over on Defenders Battlehawks, and under on Renegades Brahmas. Going into who I think will win, this is straight up money lines. This does not involve spreads in the slightest. We got the Panthers beating the Showboats, Stallions beating the Roughnecks, Battlehawks beating the Defenders, and only upset I'm picking is the Renegades to beat my beloved Brahmas. So there we go, guys. That is your 4th and 12. Get ready to win some money. I started with 15. I'm up to 27, guys. If you follow my bets, you could almost double your money. Imagine if you were rich and you bet $1 million on all my bets. You'd be a 2x millionaire. But that is really all I have for you. I don't even know if I'm going to put the intro in. Like I said, I might not edit this shit at all. Probably not. So this is my little goodbye from Spaghetti Sacchetti. So here's one for the homies. If you're drinking along, take a swig, guys. And we're going to say thank you very much for listening to this episode of Behind the Sticks UFL. The real MVP is all you lovely listeners out there. And even though House Sound's not here, we love you guys to death. Special thanks to Joshua Housetown Housel for making this podcast so much more fun to record while he's here. It's not like a job when I'm alone. I love doing this, guys. But goddamn, it is like a vacation with my homie here. Another shout out to our music coordinator, Space Cricket. Hooked us up with the microphones and the ballin' intro song. Probably not going to use it this week, but that's what's up. And if you want to follow us, like us, subscribe, or whatever, I don't really care. Go ahead and do it on wherever you feel like. But everyone, have a blessed night. And by the way, Mother's Day was last week. If you haven't talked to your mom recently, give her a call. She misses you.